Good morning, graduate and friend. It's indeed a...
I don't even need a mic.
Yeah, some of us are hard to hear.
Okay. It is indeed a wonderful privilege for me to be in Lake Quartz, and I keep in touch with what's taking place. I'm very happy to see Brother Ken and Sister Carolyn still going on. You know, the Bible says that even in our old age, we still bear fruit. And so I can think of a time when we, Lorna and I, start coming to Lake Worth. And maybe we have five or six at the most, you know, and the Lord has called home quite a few. I doesn't forget Lake Worth, but because of Lorna's illness, it sort of curtailed my movements. But I give God thanks that I'm still able to move. You know, Lorna has a major block in the heart, still having problems, a lot of pain and all that. But she loved the Lord, and she continued faithfully whenever she can to go to the meeting. There are assemblies in Jamaica that ask me that wherever I go, I should convey their love and greetings. Because of Lorna's sickness, I'm not able to go to a lot of night meetings, but we have four Bible studies during the day, start at 9 o'clock at different assemblies. And so I am very involved in those four assemblies. And also whenever we can, we go to others in the evening. Some of them is in the night. And the Lord's Day, I go to two assemblies. Middle quarters start at 9 to about 10:30. And I would try to get to one of the nearer assemblies that need help. We, about a month ago, or a little over, we had a brothers' meeting where we came together to consider about 10 assemblies to be closed because they are so small. They are sisters but no brother. Some have one brother, but they are not very active and all that. And so it was our concern, and we prayed about it, and we were encouraged with the fact that of the man who had the fig tree and decided that he would cut it down because it didn't bear fruit. And then he was encouraged that we would dig around it and he would fertilize it and give it another year. And we were encouraged with that, that there's a lot of work to be done in these assemblies. And so we have to be working. And we ask God to help us that we would continue. My New Year resolution is know, grow, and go. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and that I will grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus, and that I will be willing to go where He sends me. It's difficult, but sometimes we have to go beyond our little simple mind and do what the Lord would have us to do. You would agree with me that we are living in difficult times, and there's a lot of challenge. Changing things and changing time, but we thank God that we have a God that doesn't change. He remains the same. I'm going to share, and I'll take you to different parts of the scripture, but I will not be able to read all of it because it would take so much time. So I would just quote some of them, and maybe the doors that I think I cannot properly quote, I will seek to read it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, it says that the God of this world has blinded the minds of men. Some of your Bible might say, in this age. Some say, time. But it says, the God of this world has blinded the minds of men. So we have a lot of people that are walking around with blind minds. They have no thinking or care about God or the things of God or their soul. I have a few people that I have in my prayer link, and I give some of them name now, soon come. Because I talk to them about their soul, inviting them to come to the meeting, and I say, Brother Jasper, soon come. And when I come, nothing is going to get me out. But I am wondering, how do we know how much time we really have? It says the God of the world has blinded the minds of man. And so Paul was saying that my mind was once blinded by the God of the world. And we know when Paul was Saul, we know all that he did. Blind mind. But then he declared in Galatians 2 and verse 20, he said, I am crucified with Christ. So what is Paul trying to say? My mind was once blind, but now I am crucified with Christ. And if anyone has seen a brighter light than Saul, I need to know who, because he says that the light that he saw on the road going down, he was brighter than the noonday sun. And so Paul is saying that once my mind was blind, but I am crucified with Christ. The Apostle Peter writes in 1 Peter 1 and verse 13, he says, gird up the lines of your mind. What does gird up mean? Mean to tie, to, you know, attach to. Jesus said in John 4 and verse 15, no, chapter 15 and verse 4 of John, he said, I am the vine and you are the branches. Abide in me, because unless you abide in me, you can do nothing. This is what Peter is trying to say. Gird up, tie, be attached to our Lord Jesus. So if your minds are crucified, and Peter is asking us to gird up our minds with the Lord Jesus, to abide in him, then Philippians 2 and verse 5, it said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So Paul is saying that if your mind are crucified, then you have to have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. A mind that is crucified wants to do what Philippians 4 and verse 8 requires of us to do. That we should think of the things that are lovely, things that are true, and the things that are of good report. So a crucified mind that is attached to Christ can only think about the things that are lovely. And in spite of the difficulty of the world, we can be assured of our salvation, and we can still rejoice even in difficult times. It said we in Romans 12 and verse 1 that we should have a renewed mind. You see, once our minds are crucified, then we have a renewed mind. We now have the mind of Christ. You and I should be thinking as how he thought. And what was his desire? To please God, his Father, in everything. Wouldn't it be wonderful if that is our desire? That we will seek to please God in everything we say because our mind have been renewed, because we have this new mind, we have the mind of Christ in us. Coming up to Easter time, and at this time we talk about the resurrection and all that, and the crucifixion. And no one took any photographs of the Lord Jesus when he was dying, I can assure you that. But man in their imagination, especially at this Easter time, would show you how, you know, those wonderful thorns were that they placed upon the Lord Jesus' head. I have said, and we have crucifixion in our minds. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. My mind is crucified and I have the mind of Christ. So, I want to assure you that the crown, according to Matthew 27, I think, and verse 26, he says that when he was in the praetorium and they had derobed the Lord Jesus, that they plaited a crown of thorn and put it upon his head. And I want to tell you that that crown of thorn was not like an umbrella above his head. It was a crown that was made to inflict pain and suffering and anguish. So you're going to use your imagination when they put that crown of thorn upon the Lord Jesus' head and just poke it down. And you can see the blood trickling down his face. Use your imagination. And Paul is saying, if my mind is crucified, then my eyes must be crucified as well. Because the blood is trickling down. And in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2, he said, let us lay aside sins and weights that so easily ensnare us, so that we can run the race that is set before us with endurance, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. No athletes run and look back where they're coming from, because they defeat what they would be doing. Their eyes are ahead. That's where the prize are. That's where the finish line is. And Paul is saying that if my eyes are crucified, then my eyes should be upon the Lord Jesus. I should be running the race that is set before me, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of my faith. Turn your eyes, the little chorus says, upon Jesus, and look in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow dim in the light of his glory and his grace. My eyes that is crucified should only see the good hands of God. I remember we had the last hurricane down in Jamaica, and I was telling some people that we have to say thank God that in spite of what happened, it could have been 10 times worse. And one guy said to me, how are you going to give God thanks for mashing up the place and all that? And I said, my friend, if your eyes at the right place, you would see if the hand of God was not in it, then you wouldn't be here even to be talking. It's his grace that keep us, brethren, not that we keep ourselves. And so Paul is saying that my mind is crucified and I'm thinking right, because it's now attached to Christ. I have a new mind, new mindset. Then my eyes are crucified and my eyes are upon Christ. And so I can only see the goodness of God. It's a crucified eye will not lead us to see the mote in your brother's eye, but rather to see the love that is in our own. That's what crucified eye does. Crucified eyes only see what is good and pleasant. And this is what the Lord would have us to do if our minds are crucified. If our eyes are crucified, we are gazing upon him. And we sing that oftentimes, gazing on thee, Lord, in glory, while our heart in worship bow. You see, by gazing upon the Lord Jesus, it would cause us to want to worship him, want to adore and to magnify him, the one that is in the glory, the man Christ Jesus. He wants us to glorify him. Yes, and as we continue about the crucifixion, his eyes crucified, his mind is crucified thinking right, and his eyes are crucified and he's seeing right, then his ears must be crucified. Jesus said, blessed are your ears, for you hear. But then in John chapter 10 and verse 27, he said, my sheep hear my voice. And they know me, and I know them. I know them by name. I'm not talking about now we hear the voice of the Lord. Or how do we hear the voice of the Lord if we don't have a relationship with him? For me to know his voice, I have to be in communication with him. Now, if I was to call Diane one day and said, hello, she probably would say, who is this? But I am certain if Luke called, she wouldn't ask who is this because she knows his voice. There's a relationship. We need to have that relationship with the Lord Jesus that we can hear his voice and we can understand. A lady was telling me the other day, she said, God let me down. And I said, with what? She said, when I was quoting my husband, I prayed to him and asked him, give me the right man. And now I regret that I even had met him, wasn't to married to him. And I said, my dear, you're certain you heard the voice of the Lord? Because the Bible says that there are many voices out there. But if I have a relationship with him, then I will know his voice. Let me tell you, little Samuel, when the Lord called him, he didn't know the Lord's voice, but he knew the voice of Eli, and he ran to him 3 times. And then Eli would advise him, he said, next time you hear it, say, speak, Lord, for your servant here. We have never read where Samuel went back to Eli because now he knows the voice of the Lord. To know the voice of the Lord, we have to have that relationship. Let me tell you one person who I can assure from Scripture that she knew the voice. Mary was at the grave of the Lord Jesus. 2 angels spoke to her, asking her questions. And it says that she turned around and she saw a man, maybe tall and strapping and good looking like Luke. And he asked her the same question that the angel asked her, what are you seeking? She said, a man, but she don't know him. But when he said, Mary, she said, my Lord and my Master. She know his voice. Brethren, that's what we're talking about, to have that relationship with our Lord Jesus. And it doesn't come by night. We have to spend time with him. We have to listen to him. I tell you a story of my little grandson, one of them in Jamaica. His father would always say to him, the Bible says, this or that. And when he was 3 years old, he took up his Bible. One day I said, Daddy, you want to tell me that this Bible talk? Well, I want to assure you this morning that the Bible talk. The Bible says that in olden time, God speak to us through the prophet. But today, he speak to us through his son, the written word and the living word. He speak to us, but sometimes our ears are clouded and maybe we need spiritual earpiece. What we call it? Spiritual hearing aid we probably need, because we're not listening, we're not hearing. You understand? We need to listen to the Lord and his instruction. So Paul is saying, my mind is crucified and I am seeing, thinking right, and my eyes are crucified and I am seeing right, and my ears are crucified and I am hearing right, then my hands must be crucified. See, crucified hands. The psalmist asked, who will go into the house of the Lord? And he says, he that has clean hands. David was told, you cannot build my house because there's blood in your hand. Crucified hand will want to embrace what is good, what is right, and whatsoever things that are true. Crucified hands would not take what is not theirs. Crucified hands would be like the Good Samaritan. saw the man half dead, stop, bandage him up and all that, spend his time and his resource and everything. Crucified hands would find things to do that bring honor and glory to God. So a crucified mind, think right. Crucified eyes, see right. Crucified ears, hears right. And crucified hands would do the things that are right. Embrace what is true and what is right. And if your minds are crucified, your eyes are crucified, your ears are crucified, your hands are crucified, and your feet must be crucified. And it says, is it in Timothy, it said that our feet should be shod with the preparation of the gospel. But you know, I like how Isaiah put it. And so I'm going to read it because I might not be able to quote it correctly. This is in Isaiah 52 and verse 7. Isaiah 52. Isaiah 52 and verse 7 said, how beautiful upon the mountain are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaim peace, who bring glad tidings of good things, who proclaim salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. How beautiful are the feet that bring God good tidings. Crucified feet will not take me to places that I have to hide from brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. Crucified feet will take me into his presence, but more so to walk in his footsteps. Crucified feet. So a crucified mind, think right, and crucified eyes, see right. Crucified ear, hear right. Crucified hands, embrace what is right. Crucified feet, take me to where things are right. And if you were following me, you would notice I have left out one important member of my body. And I would like you to turn with me to James chapter 3. The book of James. Epistle of James chapter 3. I don't know if you want me to read all of it, but it's very important. Brethren, let me say that we have 2 ears and we hardly hear. But we have 1 tongue and it takes 1 whole page of the scripture when God is describing it to us. This tongue, it says, is wicked. It's viscerous. It is a fire from the pit of hell. You can imagine if we had 2 tongues. It wouldn't be California alone on fire. Lake World would be burning out. But it says, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a strict judgment. In other words, the more we know is the more we are whole, responsible as believers. The Lord said to Israel, when you didn't know, I wink at it, but now you know. You see, the more we get to know about the Lord Jesus, is the more we are held in high esteem. We should be like Christ. We should let his mind be in me, rule me. Verse 2 says, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in words, he is a perfect man, able to also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at the ship, although they are so large and are driven by force wind, they are turned by a very small rudder, wheresoever the pilot desire. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and it boasts great things. See how great a force a little fire kindle. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it is defiles the whole body and set on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and birds and reptiles are creatures of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by man or mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is unruly, evil, full of deadly poison. With it bless God and the Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude or the likeness of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and curse. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive, or a grape vine bear fig? Though thus no spring yield both salt and fresh. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy, self-seeking in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but it is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and strife exist, confusion, even evil things are there. But the wisdom that from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and of good fruit, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. God would have men to write about this tongue of ours. My father always said to me, he said, boy, the best control of the English language, if you don't have something good to say, don't open your mouth. We need to learn to ask God to help us to crucify the tongue that we have. Yes, our minds are crucified and we're thinking right. And the eyes are crucified, we're seeing right. The ears are crucified and we're hearing right. And our hands crucified, embracing right. Feet are walking in his footstep, but we need also to get this tongue in line. To crucify it. We need to get a crucified tongue that will only speak the things that are lovely, things that are true, the things that bring glory and honor to God. That is what my tongue should be employed with. I don't know about you, but I have said things I wish I have not said. Can't take them back. But I also regret that there are things I could say and I do not say them. God help me that I would want to do this. And that my new year resolution moving forward is to know to grow and to go. Brethren, the time is short. And there are work to be done. The Lord Jesus encouraged each one of us. Brothers and sisters, look, the field is ripe for harvest, but the laborers are few. I remember growing up as a boy, we grew up on a farm. We used to plant a lot of gungo peas. And when it comes to January is when we reap gungo peas, dry gungo peas. You would have to get hire extra hand to shell it and to pick it out and all that. We used to talk about like 2-3 barrels of gungo peas we would have each year. It's a preparation. And our Father would always said to us when Christmas come, he says, stop look on Christmas and look on the gungo trees, because that's where his mind is was. And brethren, it would be wonderful of us if we take our eyes away from the things of the world, the things that are happening, the things that are not so pleasant, things that we wish we could change, and we have now eyes set in his field, because the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Brethren, may God help you that we will really seek to honor our Lord Jesus, not just in word, but also in action. You know, love is not a word only. Because every time you read of the love of God, it put add something to it. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So word is, love is more than a word. It's an action. It's a movement. It's something that moves us. And is the love that Jesus had that led him all the way to Calvary. And is the love for him that you are here this morning. I would like you, since we start with the mind, in a message, I would like you to turn to hymn number 74. And that you would sing it prayerfully, and that your desire truly would be to know, to grow, and to go. May he bless his word as we sing, for his name's sake.
May the mind of Christ, my Savior, live
the word of God will reign. We're thankful for the beloved blessings. Thank you for that gift, a gift that far outgives all other gifts, the gift of thy holy, thy blessed Son, spotless and blameless, yet he would be tried in an earthly court and found guilty by even sinful men and sentenced to death, even the death of the cross. And Lord, where there we see thy love expressed and demonstrated in no way which man can understand, none that they have ever seen. But Lord, we are thankful for the result of this great sacrifice. It is that which brought us and qualify us to be even thy presence this morning. And we are thankful that thou loved us enough to take our place in Calvary. Lord, thou hast given thy all for us. And it's with grateful heart that we would bow in worship before thee this morning. Give thanks for all that thou hast done, what thou art doing, and most of all for whom thou art. We're thankful for your words, which would encourage us to be focused on thee, be committed to thee, and to be obedient to thee. We pray that thou might help us all, each and every one of us, to be in the good of this as we walk in this pilgrim spot today. Again, we give thanks for the day as we continue to look to thee for guidance, direction in all things. Have his mercies, give him thanks in that precious name, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Amen. We thank the Lord for the word the challenge is here for up before us. It'll be on the website in a few days, so you can hear it again. I'm going to send a copy to my daughters. So it'll be good for us all to hear again. We're going to take a short break and we'll come back in for our combined Sunday schools. First Sunday, listen for the little bell. We're a little shorter on time, so it's okay to bring your drink and your snack in here. We'll sweep up after. You drop it, you sweep it, I should have said. And following that is our fellowship lunch. It's first Sunday. We'll stay together. And food is always delicious, and the fellowship is more delicious. Thursday night's our Zoom meeting for prayer and Bible study. It's first Thursday of the month, so we'll have open ministry as the Lord leads. So we're thankful for all who came that we haven't seen for a long time, some for the first time. Again, thankful to see Brother Laurel, Sister Ann back. We've gone quite a while. And it's good to see Julio. Pray for him. He's had some work Sunday, so pray for him that they'll let him out for a few hours. And good to see Brother Jasper. Sorry Lorna is sick. Give her our love and greetings, if you would. And the guests, Irving and Cheryl, nice to meet you. Thankful you're here. Be sure and introduce yourself. And Brother Colbert's flying to Canada on Wednesday to visit with his brother Sam. His condition is no change, so that's he's heading home soon. So pray for what do you pray for that? Pray the Lord will release him. If he's not going to heal it, release him comfortably in his presence. Pray for safety for Brother Sam. So let's take a break and listen for a little bell and come on back in.
And thanks for all the prayers of my mom. She did the surgery and now she's doing well.
I'm asking for prayer continuing for Lorna and myself. Just yesterday I got a phone call from Jamaica. My very last sister we have, out of five, has now been diagnosed with stage 3 cancer. That's Cherry and Donald's mother. I had buried one last year, and I don't know. They probably won't bury me, but it is. I don't know. But there's a lot of challenge, and I visited Brother Colbert the other day. We were talking about so many sickness in different places.
Yeah.
Heaven is full enough.
the Lord taking home his own before judgment. The rapture is still ahead, but we don't know when. It could be shortly. Where I see it is not very far. How far? Not my concern. Thank God, whenever he comes, I'm ready.
I want to say thanks to the saints for all your prayers and those who have sent special greetings, individual greeting from the saints. And the saints that has been with us through my trial. Thank you for your gift.
Oh, here's also a young sister. When Thursday are gone 2 weeks, she's from one of the assembly that Laurel visited while he was out there, called Stonefield. Went to the hairdresser, had her hair done, went home, severe headache, asking them to cut off her hair, they started to cut it off, and then she get unresponsive. By the time I took her to the hospital, she was dead. She's still in her 30s, not yet 40 years old. She died left with a boy of 2.5 years old. Her father is one of them I've been talking to, inviting him to the meeting, and he keeps in for the gospel circles. And I'm praying that what happened, we'll see that our soon come, we just don't know when. Because we don't know when we're going to die. The Bible says we are not better than the fish or the bird, because they don't know the time, neither does man. We see one man in Luke, had a bumper crop, he said to him, I tell to my soul, relax, I'll talk to you down, I'm giving me new bonds, I put up my foot, I say, relax, because you have a lot for many years. And God said, but you're a fool. Yeah, that's all required. If you're here and you don't know the Lord Jesus, you need to know him.
You're going back to Jamaica?
Yes.
Greet the Lord's people for us, would you?
I would do that.
Area of the greeting.
We just still have a little time here. With all the tests.
Hey, one other thing. I've got Sunday school papers for the month. I'll put them on the table when it's clear.
Glad to see you.
It's always a pleasure. You still got a firm grip. You still got
time. Yeah, thank God.